Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Ben.
And you're listening to
What's New?
Nancy Drew.
Come get a clue.
Boop, boop, doo. This podcast is, as always, part of the Fandom Limb Media Podcast Network. So for other pop culture podcasts, go to fandomlimb.com.
Here on What's New, Nancy Drew, Sarah and I recap the episodes of the Nancy Drew TV show starring Kennedy McMahon. This is the final episode of that television show. We will be recapping season 4, episode 13, The Light Between Lies. I'm going to apologize right now that I'm going to be a hot mess during this episode.
Yeah, same here.
So, Sarah, it's been a little while since we recorded. Thank you, loyal, wonderful fans, for staying with us and being patient on getting these episodes out to you. Sarah, you want to tell them a little bit about us watching the last episode?
Is this the first time we watched together?
For Nancy, possibly. We watched the Tom Swift finale together.
Yeah.
As well.
I know we tried to watch Nancy together and we had the time wrong. And then you had to go pack for a trip.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Like, you came over at 7 and it was like, it's actually on at 8. And you were like, okay, well, see you later.
Was that like season 1 or something?
Yeah.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then the whole little pandemic happened.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. What a ride. 4 seasons. Crazy. Well, yeah. So like you said, we watched this one together.
Ben made up a little bit of a cheers game. We did not play it as a drinking game because that might have been a little dangerous. Maybe I can post the list of the different things. Every time that there was a cute dad's moment with Nancy, every time Nancy uses sleuthing skills, when Tristan says something adorable or possibly inappropriate to the situation.
So yeah, these were just things that I thought would be fun that I was hoping would happen or that I expected to happen in the episode, just to see every time we could cheers our little glass of champagne and not necessarily take a drink because, like you said, we could die.
Yeah.
We also got some lobster rolls. Sarah told me she had never had a lobster roll before, and she wasn't sure if it was going to be like a sushi roll, but it is lobster on bread.
Yes, and it was amazing. A restaurant that near us has, like, I don't know if it's a more traditional style of the hot butter and lobster.
That's the Connecticut style.
Oh, okay. But then the main style is the one with, it's cold with like the mayonnaise base and all that. We made sure we got the main style in honor of the claw. And oh my God, that was delicious.
It was really good. I love lobster rolls. They're like one of my favorite foods, but I don't think I'd had the main style one before. I typically get the hot with the butter. But for this, we had to feel like we were at the claw.
Mm-hmm.
And then we watched this episode and cried a lot. And now we finally feel like we are ready to talk about it.
We will see.
All right. So the episode opens in complete pandemonium right off from where the last one left off.
Yes. So all the sins have been inhaled by the town. Not everyone, the Drew crew and the dads, have managed to kind of avoid it.
The Drew crew minus Ace shows up to the Historical Society very early 2020, which is where they're at right now in the TV show. So that was interesting.
But, oh, that's funny. Yeah.
Yeah. But in real life, and they just are like holding their shirts or like little like gator collar things up to their, cover their mouths and noses so they don't breathe in Callie's evil fog gas.
Yeah. Which we now know doesn't work, but it worked for them. It kept the fog out of them.
Yeah. This sin fog felt very... I wasn't quite sure of how it was going to pop up and like how dangerous it actually was. Some people seemed really easily affected and other people seemed like they were fine.
So later, Ryan and Jade are talking to Carson and Jean, or in Red, about how it was their anxieties that were driving them to steal certain things.
Mm.
So I wonder if that's how the gas were. Like, it would affect people differently. Like, it would bring out whatever was already in them. So, like, that guy that started the mob has been saying all season that he wanted to do the, like, down with the supernatural and all that.
Okay, so if you yourself are capable of performing the sins that are being unleashed, those sins might suck up into your nostrils more easily. But yes, that's a good point. Maybe it's stress induced. Maybe it's a lot of things based on just like who the people are that affects them. But yes, so these people manage to get to the Historical Society and they're all like, you know, are we going to run into Callie? And they're like, we'll have to deal with her eventually. But no, because she gets away.
Yeah, she takes off. So that's not great of her, but convenient for them because now the Drew crew can go in and they have access to the Historical Society and everything. So Bess gets to work right away. She has one risky lead. It's an untested theory that a Sin Eater's soul is powerful enough to wipe out sins, but it's a physical body that's holding it back. So they just need a soul supernova to stop Sinnerpalooza.
And luckily, they're like, well, we're pretty sure Tristan is still a Sin Eater, even though he can't be summoned anymore. So, yeah, it's going to be totally solved in the first 5 minutes. And I was fully hoping it would be so we could just get 40 minutes of them all hugging and crying. But that's not exactly what happens.
I really love Tristan's little moment where he decides that he's going to do this and tells Nancy, like, he's holding her hand and he's like, yes, this town is flawed, but there are good people here worth saving.
Pretty sure I made you tears there because he said something adorable.
Yep, I think so.
Then we go to downtown where we have Cece.
Cheers. Yay! Connor shows up being wonderful, defending Lily's flower shop.
He, along with everyone else, has gone bonkers bananas.
So Carson finds Ryan and Red and lets them know, real quick to get the plot stuff out of the way, that Jean is still at her sister's cabin. So she's avoiding all this. We don't have to worry about her. And she decided to keep the baby and he's on board with being a dad again. So all wrapped up.
Yep.
Good stuff.
It's what I thought was going to happen, but it's still nice to know.
Yeah. I still think had they kept going that baby was going to be the new Sin Eater.
Sure. I could see that. There's no reason for me to shoot that down. I think I'll get really depressed if I think too much about if the show wasn't canceled storylines.
Right. I know.
But we can do some fan fiction down the line.
Mm-hmm. Some guy steals Ryan's keys as he chases him down. He turns and sees Carson and Red both get a lung full of sins.
Yeah. I'm glad he stole the keys because that allowed one of the people to stay level-headed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he turns, or those two immediately start looting.
Yeah, Cece's like, that's my wife's merch. Very cute.
Mm-hmm.
I wish he would have been like, my wife Lily, who was also here in this scene with me to say goodbye to the TV show, but it's okay.
Yeah.
He said my wife. And then someone starts chanting, and you point out that this is the guy that's been like against the supernatural all season. He starts chanting about finding the witch.
Yeah. Creepy.
Creepy. And I think you pointed out to me on the couch, you're like, oh no, Bess. I was like, oh, I wasn't even thinking. I was just like, this guy crazy.
Then we go over to the Historical Society and Nancy found out that Carson and Red got dosed. And so she's texting with Ryan, be like, okay, track Carson's phone so you can find him.
Then we have George being George and she's very concerned. She's trying to get her interview for the college rescheduled. And Nancy's like, the person interviewing you isn't coming here, is she?
Yeah.
Which I thought was very funny. And George is like, they don't care, Nancy. This is other stuff's going on. And I'm like, if this was anything other than the series finale, I would be like, George, you're being crazy.
Yep, I completely agree. But then we had one of our favorite new characters, Jade, shows up. And they decided to stay there for Nick. Because they had never seen someone so dedicated to a town that they didn't grow up in.
It's really cute.
Mm-hmm.
But also, they cracked me up with the immediately accusing Nick of trying to avoid the road trip.
Yes.
I was like, oh, God. And then it was very quickly followed up with support. So
yeah. Nick says that this town gave him a second chance when he needed it. So he feels that he owes it. And so Jade's like, okay, how can I help? Nancy goes, have you ever tracked down the sin-possessed dad? And Jade goes, it wouldn't be my first.
I'm really glad that Nancy gave Jade something to do there.
Because
Jade offered, but it could have just been like, we have too much going on. But Nancy actually gave them something to do, which was nice.
Yes, I agree. And then Ace shows up. says that apparently this town had a lot of body snatching going on in the past, so the morgue was wild, and so he locked it up and snuck out.
That line was really helpful for me to sort of understand the rules behind all of this. Because during the looting, it was a bit like, what are they doing? Why are people just grabbing stuff? What's going on? But they're replaying the specific sins that had happened. And so if there's with body snatching sins, oh, we're going to go snatch some more bodies because that's what the smoke's making us do. So that helped my little brain understand how this all kind of worked.
And I think it makes sense that there was all that looting because sins that would happen more often than not, it would probably be like just stealing.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that it can play off of you and whatever you're wanting to steal, I think that could work well.
Yeah, and for the privileged people who were able to tell their sins to the sin eater, you know, they were doing it for some serious stuff, but they were also doing it for some minor things. Like, we learned that it could be as simple as, I broke a coffee mug. And so in order for all these sin eaters to be getting hurt and dying all this time, it would make sense that people are just kind of saying crazy stuff like, oh yeah, I stole this from the store, or I did that, or whatever little inconveniences.
Yeah.
Ace informs Nancy that Alice left and is immediately like, okay, what's the plan? I.e. he's here to help.
Yeah, she apologizes and he says, I'm not here for an apology. And then we go outside to Tristan in some electric chair looking thing.
They're like finishing the construction of it when Ace walks in. And I'm like, I know we're supposed to be focused on Ace, but I'm just looking at this crazy pronged thing they're making.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely looks like Tristan's about to die.
Mm-hmm. But it's an antenna.
Yeah. And Bess is nervous. She's thinking like she must have missed something, and Ace gives her a pep talk. She says her little thing and there's a big buildup, and then nothing happens.
Except Nancy falls and starts having visions. This was so exciting. The visions were like stunning.
Yeah.
There's like a shot of a woman getting out, like clearly a period piece. She's wearing clothes from not now. She's like getting out at a gas station. And then there's like snow and some scissors and somebody else with an axe chopping wood. It was just really cool and was definitely, not to be a broken record, but was definitely one of the moments that made me just be like, where was this gonna go if we didn't have to condense it for time? Because I would have loved to hear about more of those people than just the one past life that we do get.
Oh, yeah. So she has these visions and then she wakes up in the historical society. So they've clearly had to carry her inside. Who knows how long she's been out. And Ace and Tristan are right there with her. And she tells them that she saw visions of the past. All the people felt like her. And then Bess reads the fine print in the little thing that she did. And it says that the soul supernova can't happen if the soul is tangled with another.
You're just going to breeze right past the fact that she like shrieks from the other room when she reads it. It was such a needed laugh in that moment because things were getting heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just like, whoa! Like, I don't even know what the sound was, but yeah. As you said, she reads that helpful information.
Yeah. And Nancy remembers Nashua saying that, we've walked this path many times before. And then another cheers for Tristan saying, does this mean we're soulmates?
Which Bess finds adorable, just like we did.
Yeah. She goes, yes. And George goes, dude.
But I'm glad that Bess is not the only... Ooh, what's their shipping name? Tristny. No.
Nanston?
Nanston.
Yeah, Tristy or Nansen?
Lobney. No. Lobsy. Lobsy.
That's too close to Bobsy.
Oh, forget the Bobsies.
Nanster.
Lobster Drew.
And we can't get any better than Pansy, so.
So why try?
Yeah.
All right. It doesn't matter because the end of this episode.
Yep.
All right.
Speaking of, Ace is not happy about this possible soulmate situation. I just love that we get his face in the background there.
There is so much of that through this mm-hmm. whole episode, and I love how unsubtle it all is.
Oh, yeah.
All right. The show goes to a commercial break, but we're not gonna. We're gonna power through. The Drew crew is trying to figure out what the different visions have in common and what the different locations are.
Yeah, because they need to find out when the souls became entangled in order to know how to untangle them.
Yep. So they start with the gas station, right? Mm-hmm. And Ace is going to check the property records to figure out if there's any connection with the locations.
Yeah. And then we go over to Nancy and Tristan talking about souls. And she's like, oh, that's why I had that spark with Nashua and how you and I clicked the moment that we met. Tristan tells her that she's always been his light. And she looks at Ace.
Yeah. He's really leaning into the love story here. And until this episode, I feel like Nancy was too. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, we'll never know. But I'm trying to look at it from her being practical and also her, I don't know. I don't really know how I feel about her shift in opinions on this whole thing. But obviously she learns new information here. In this episode, so that obviously plays a huge part in it.
So she doesn't like being told what to do. So the idea of a predetermined soulmate, the person that you should be with, I feel like that wouldn't fly with her.
Good call. Like she'd be against it just for the sake of being against it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But also she's overly conscious about Ace being around and like she just did something huge to hurt him. And so she doesn't want to continue hurting him.
Which is completely valid as they are trying to be friends. We have Ace venting to Nick. And Nick says that Ace is being harsh about not wanting to ever forgive Nancy for calling to the Sin Eater to get rid of his memory of burning that girl alive. Yeah. Probably could have said that a little less harsh myself. Nick did not say that. But Nick is like, dude, unforgivable, seriously.
Yeah, he says, if they hold themselves accountable, then they can find the path forward. And Ace is like, yeah, you really believe that? And Ace is like, I have no choice. I've lived it.
Apparently, Nick is like the voice of forgiveness here because he was giving George trouble a couple episodes ago for the same thing.
Yeah, which I think shows his full arc as a character because I feel like in the first season, he didn't forgive himself for what happened, that he accidentally was the reason someone died.
Before Horseshoe Bay.
Yeah. And so I feel like that's why.
Oh, and that's maybe why he's so attached to Horseshoe Bay. Because he really like credits the whole experience of being there for his growth too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
So they find out that all of Nancy's visions happen at the same place.
Okay. So they are walking through town trying to locate the exact place that all her visions are pointing to.
When you were taking your notes, how did you reference this group at this point?
I didn't reference them as anything.
So just...
I just wrote, like, walking through town.
Gotcha. There were places where I would be like, Drew crew minus Ace, or Drew crew plus Tristan. And at this point in the episode, I just referred to them all as Drew crew. And I noticed that I did that for the rest of the time. So I'm, like, counting Tristan in there.
Oh, okay.
And of course, that's partially from what you told me that the original plan was he was going to join the Drew crew. But I don't know. I think the six is an interesting combo.
Yeah.
So they're walking the streets and George has her crowbar.
Yay.
And Nancy has her beanie.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all suited up in their action figure forms of the obvious what you would expect them to be in. Except Bess is dressed as poofy enough.
I love the little moment where Nancy like looks weird and they're like, oh, is this a place? And she's like, I think that's my dad's shoe.
Which, that's a very nondescript boot. But I get it.
She knows.
Oh, she's Nancy Drew.
She's Nancy Drew. Yeah.
I forgot who we were talking about.
She just recognizes Ace's shoes a couple episodes ago when they did the game.
I mean, she literally has a photographic memory.
Yeah.
And she's literally Nancy Drew.
Yeah.
I'm a fool. Because I honestly was like, how does she know that's his shoe?
Yeah. And Ace is just like, I'll text Ryan and Jade. Like, there's no point in slowing down right now. We need to do this. So he does that. George apologizes to Nick that he's missing his road trip. And she's like, but it's not really just a vacation, is it? And he's like, no, it was part vacation, part to go see maybe where somewhere else I could live.
And this is the most I've ever related to Bess. Because she about has a meltdown over the fact that people might be moving away. I have a history of a lot of like friends and people near and dear to me moving away, and it's apparently still very triggering. It's all good. Long distance is lovely. But Bess, in that moment, I was like, I feel you, girl. And also just like leaving the show, mm-hmm. and all of us saying goodbye to the show. I was like, Bess, do not cry right now. I have to watch this episode.
Oh, man. There were so many times in the past 2 weeks I wanted to send the meme or the gif of her like on the couch at the Drew house going, I'm sorry, was I crying too loud?
Oh, I loved that.
I know.
All right. But before she can have her meltdown, the mob is coming to burn her.
Yeah. They yell, get the witch. She goes, what did you just call me?
Nancy lures them away, and I loved this. She traps them in a building, and she'd heard about a way that she could get out and leave them trapped in eighth grade when she was investigating a dancing Muppet.
So the clue of the dancing puppet, we're just going to throw the what's old Nancy Drew in right here, came out in 1962, and this is the 62nd episode of the show.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
I'm glad they had a little throwback like that, because there's been little things sprinkled here and there throughout the 4 years of different references to old books or old cases. And it's not out of character for her to reference an old case. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't super shoehorned in here to be. But I'm glad that they used it as another meaning on top of that.
Yeah.
And her visions start up again. They are standing over the spot.
Yeah, so they go down to the crawl space beneath them, and they are digging very daintily. It's like just like boop, boop, like Kennedy, with a little plastic shovel.
Kennedy's a superstar. This is her worst acting in the entire series.
It wasn't just her.
Really?
They were all digging like that.
It was very cute.
I guess they had to be like careful because they didn't know what they were digging up. Like, they didn't want to damage anything.
It was the actors stalling while Ace and Tristan get through their lines. But yes, I loved it. Dainty digging.
And then, yes, Ace and Tristan got to have a little conversation there. Tristan goes to Ace, did you see what she did? She ran straight at danger. Ace is like, yeah, that's Nancy. Takes some getting used to. But don't be scared, because this is also her. She'll do anything to protect you, no matter the cost. She never backs off from danger, and she offers unconditional forgiveness without asking for it herself.
Ace, maybe you should also forgive her. I wonder if that's what they were getting at.
I feel like he has forgiven her, and he hasn't. He's still mad at her, but mm-hmm. has forgiven her.
You know what would have been great? If we did get another season, and Tristan was in the Drew crew, watching these two's dynamic grow and change would have been really cool.
Yeah.
Because we don't get much of them.
No.
So I liked that they gave us a glimpse of what that might have been in this episode. Nancy daintily digs up the scissors, and we see that they belong to Nashua Kipp's wife, which Bess thinks is holy romance novel. They assume that Nancy's past life was Nashua's wife. What was her name? I kept missing it.
Lucia Kipp. So Bess says that now that they know this information, they can disentangle the souls.
And there's dramatic looks amongst everyone.
Mm-hmm. And another commercial break, and we come back to the Historical Society. They are going to do a memory weave between Nancy and Tristan to the moment their souls entwined, and Bess will perform a ritual, and bingo bango, souls disentangled. Basically.
Yep. They're going to burn her soul away from Tristan's. Sounds very painful.
Mm-hmm. And Nancy hopes it's not going to be fatal.
Also, they love memory weaves at this point.
Oh my God. Yeah. They're just weaving everything right and left.
Oh my God. And the looks and the touching, and everyone's just being all awkward and romantic and awkward.
So Nick's heading to go get Lucia's remains from her grave. He's like, I'll be back with it by the time you need it. George needs to go to do her interview and says it kills her to leave now. And Bess goes, and yet you're still here alive, abandoning me.
Honestly, Bess, raid her. Drag her. George, this is completely uncalled for. Yeah. I get that you have to live your own life. And I get that you are invested in your future. Honey.
You just heard that your friends might die. Well, that your friend and Tristan might die.
and the stakes of the entire town.
Yeah.
She could die being looted on the way to the hall.
Yeah, we already know this town is racist. So who knows what sins have been confessed in the past. Like, it is a danger for her and for Nick and for Jade, like, to just be walking throughout town.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah, absolutely. Because if it's really going back to what people did in the past, yeah, you're absolutely right. That's terrifying.
Yeah.
And really, I would just be scared in general because who knows what's going on outside.
Oh, yeah.
But no, she's going to go meet this person.
Or you might breathe in the stuff. Or what if the interviewer breathed in the stuff? Okay. There is way too much. And one last thing, Bess sees, they need to be on the brink of death.
Nancy's little shrug here. She's like, of course. Yeah. One more thing.
And Tristan's like, well, yeah, you have to be dying for your brain to mix with your subconscious mind and all that. And he's like, been there.
So Ace is going to go in as like an anchor.
Is a lifeguard. So yeah. He can pull them out. And Nancy's immediately like, no. Like, if you lose us, you'll die too. And Bess is like, oh, no, it's fine. Because you guys got this death curse. It's going to connect you. So he'll always be able to find you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm really liking that Nick and George have their own things they're off doing, which are, well, George's is not important. She has no excuse. Nick's is important. Mm-hmm. He's helping. But you've got, like, the love triangle and then, like, the person most invested in love storylines, like, outside watching them, like, doing her spell and doing her thing. I just like how all the pieces were falling and how everyone's roles were coming into place this episode.
Yeah.
It happens later too with that same kind of dynamic of who's around for important moments.
Mm-hmm.
So George shows up for the interview. Why did this woman come here?
I don't know. We go into the claw. Carson's building a crib and then Red is just sitting there reading.
So funny.
The interviewer comes in and then Ryan and Jay come in and take them out of there and they're like, okay, don't drink the water. And so George offers her a soda before they start the interview.
Hilarious. Back at the Historical Society, Bess gives Nancy and Tristan the drink, i.e. she poisons them.
And then blows powder in their face. Ace has his totem to bring him back. And we go into the weave.
They got these bright little things around their hearts and these little like smoke chains connecting them all. All right. And they find Nashua and August Pritchard fighting in the snow.
Yeah, August Pritchard is the one who started the Sin Eater.
With the cute little octopus. The little Sin Eater octopus.
No, I know, but he was pretty evil, dude.
Oh, no, he's bad.
Yeah.
But the cute little octopus.
Nashua is trying to fight him and stop him from doing anything else. And Nashua stabs and kills August Pritchard. And that's the moment that their souls entangled.
Which means it wasn't the wife. It was the evil murderee.
Nancy handles it super well.
Nope.
She realizes their souls were entangled because of vengeance. And Tristan, uncharacteristically, is like, your past life is a source of this evil that's been destroying me.
Which, I mean, I'm glad that he's able to be upset.
Oh, yeah.
And in classic Nancy form, which... kind of understandable right here, but she blames herself and she's like, I'm the reason that you're dying and that you've been in pain all these times. Every time someone sins and you get hurt, that's my fault because I started all this.
Yeah. And the weave is coming apart and Ace is kind of like, hey, your emotions are destabilizing the memory weave. And she yells that all she's done is try to protect this town. Now she's a reason of the darkness. And she runs off.
Tristan followers and Ace blows his whistle.
So, trying to think. She has no control over her past life.
But it's Nancy. She's going to be blaming herself.
I know. But, like, no one has control over previous lives.
Agree. I think she's just having a moment of she needs a process and is overwhelmed.
Yeah, which is fair.
They don't really have a lot of moments.
No.
But, you know.
They got more now than in the few minutes here.
Oh, God. So Ace wakes up, basically, tells Bess. So Bess is like, oh, okay. And so she calls Nick and tells him to stop digging up poor Lucia's bones.
And Ace goes back in. Then we go over to the Claw, where the interviewer is asking about extracurriculars.
Now, Nick shows up pretty quick. So was he? Did he go from digging to go straight to the Claw? I missed his...
Well, yeah, because they don't know where the other body is.
Okay.
And so he shifted immediately, went and got the stomach pump, walks in holding it, stands there awkwardly, and then just walks to the back.
I mean, truly the only thing he could have done.
Yeah.
George is like, don't worry about him.
Yeah. No smile, no hello, no anything. Just, oh, okay. So Nick takes the stomach pump to the back. There's Nick, Jade, and Ryan telling Carson and Red that it's their anxieties that are controlling what they steal. That Carson is anxious about the baby, so he stole a crib and car seats and all sorts of baby stuff. And Ryan's like, you clearly don't want to settle down here because you stole suitcases, a passport holder, and 9 neck pillows.
Got a really sore neck, I guess.
This kind of gave some more clarity to the sins and all that. That it is like they were being driven to do things because of their anxieties.
George, finally, while I don't agree with her having this interview, I'm glad that she gets real with the interviewer. And she's like, you know what? If you're looking for A, B, and C, I'm actually D, E, F. But those things have helped me a lot. And if that's not good enough for your school, maybe your school's not good enough for me. Which, as I'm saying that, I'm like, it ends up paying off for her. Spoiler alert. But maybe don't act like that if you're willing to risk the entire town over this interview and then you kind of say, meh, to hell with it.
Well, I mean, I think because the interviewer was being kind of rude, like going through the papers, like, I'm trying to find something like maybe about a dean's list.
Yeah.
And George is like, stop it. You're not going to waste any more of my time. You know, you're not going to get it. This is what I've done. Worked 12-hour shifts. I raised my sisters. I attended pre-law classes. I went to study sessions. I mentored with the best lawyer. And I managed townwide emergencies. So it was also like she got a moment of clarity like, oh, this is a waste of time. I'm going to go.
That's fair. For sure. But then also, if the interviewer was going to be acting like that or hadn't looked through the files yet, why the heck did she drive get all the way there?
Right. Yeah.
But whatever.
So I feel like that's why I thought the interviewer was being super rude. Like, oh, well, I don't see any. Like, she knows what's in there and she's not. Yeah.
Right.
Back to the memory weave. Ace is able to follow the trail of their death curse and found Nancy, where she has August's satchel and finds out he was heading to Pennsylvania to start another Sin Eater. But he had already sent instructions for how to do it all up and down the East Coast.
Nancy is having a meltdown and she's like, man, is this why the darkness always finds me? Because I did all these terrible things. And he says, your decision to call the Sin Eater was an act of love. And he tells her that he forgives her.
Yeah, she's like, you said it was unforgivable. And he was like, well, it's not.
And Tristan sees that he loves her and probably sees that she loves Ace as well.
Yeah. Yeah, he shows up and he found where Nashua went so they can go track down where the body is. And then Tristan says to Ace, you still love her? And he's like, doesn't matter. We're cursed. If we get together, we die.
And we see that Nashua buries August at Dead Man's Bluff, which is where Nancy was born. Where this whole thing started with dead Lucy.
I was not, that caught me off guard. I was not expecting that.
Caught you off guard in what way?
I was not thinking of the bluff at all. Even though that's been multiple points now that have been, you know, that was her birth. That is
Lucy's
where,
death.
Yeah, and Lucy's death. And where Iglaika was going to kill her. Mm-hmm. She was on the bluff. She almost fell off the thing. And when she got rid of the Wraith and she had that little moment with
baby Ace. Nancy.
Yeah, baby Nancy and Ace, like that was on the bluff there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wouldn't have predicted it going into this episode, but I'm really glad it happened that way.
Mm-hmm.
And you had been saying this whole season or before the season started that you wanted something, some callback to Dead Lucy. So I'm glad that we got that here.
Yeah. Ace comes back to tell Bess where August Body is, and she's texting Nick, but the mob is outside with fire yelling, "Get the witch."
Nick and George get inside somehow, and apparently the mob was possessed by sinners of the witch burners.
How did they know that?
I don't know.
Okay. But Bess is pretty much like, I don't have time for this. I'm continuing this ritual.
Which, thank goodness.
Yeah. Back in the memory weave.
Because she is usually good at prioritizing.
Yeah. Back in the memory weave, Ace asks Nancy if she's ready to burn August out of her soul, and she nods, and then the lights start going like they're burning away. And Tristan asks her if she know how she knows which parts are August and which are her. Nancy's like, there's no separating them.
This was so beautifully dramatic. Like this felt season finale ish
mm-hmm.
of level of stakes, level of something big is happening. And I enjoyed it greatly.
Yeah. I think knowing that this was the last episode, like, I was like, oh, any one of them could die. And I did not want that to happen. But it definitely, I had that feeling, like, the stakes felt that much higher. Because I was like, yes, this is a dangerous situation. And something could happen.
Yeah, I agree with you that the stakes were that high. And yeah, that is an interesting point, being the last episode. It didn't cross my mind at that moment that any of them were going to die for some reason. I feel like this show doesn't kill a lot of people other than Owen and Cecile.
I also love she's in this blue flame circle and she's floating and her and Tristan are both like thrown back and Ace is just kind of like standing there. I just thought that it was comedic to see like such dramatic, like they are going through something so huge and he's just like, do, 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 do.
Yep.
I'm here too.
Waiting his turn to dance, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And Tristan snaps back to present. So the ball's rolling. Stuff's happening. George and Nick take him outside and Beth stays because Ace and Nancy are still inside. And I feel the tears coming.
Mm-hmm. So back in the memory weave, Ace is going to Nancy and she's like, no, you need to stop. If you come in here, it might burn your soul away too. And he goes in anyway, saying, I'm not leaving you. And then start crying because Nick is out there defending the Historical Society with the shovel and saying, these people are my family. I will protect them and I will protect the town.
Oh, my heart. And then the mob asshole throws the little fire torch into the Historical Society. This moment I did get like, oh god, like something bad is happening. Like, I didn't think Bess was gonna die, but here was the moment where I felt like someone could have.
Oh yeah, because yeah, there's Bess and two unconscious people, one of them on the brink of death.
Mm-hmm. With the fire going. And this scene was heart-wrenching but also really well acted. I feel like Bess and Nick are just so upset. Like, mm-hmm. Bess is crying inside trying to keep the spell thing going. And Nick is, like, wailing outside the building and unable to stop anything.
Yeah. And inside the memory weave, there's the burning of the two soul connections.
And I think this is when you and I turned to each other on the couch and said, oh, is this going to burn their curse away?
Mm-hmm. I think we might have said it earlier, too.
Oh, I think, like, the entire episode, we were looking at each other like, how are they going to? But here, it visually was very clear that the thing binding them, the thing going between them was burning up.
Yeah. And then Ace calls. He blows his totem there, and they come back, and Bess immediately gets him out of the building. Can you imagine, like, waking up and just seeing that you're inside? Like, that had to be terrifying.
Just start coughing. Like,
and then just to trust in Bess. Like, oh! Not ask questions, just leave.
Sarah.
What?
Maybe I'm stupid. they're like burning in the thing and then it's burning outside. Mm-hmm. So like there could have been like a smoke situation with their like lungs and stuff inside the thing. And so coming to, there's still like a fire element going on. Because I was about to be like, maybe in the dream weave, they start like coughing. But I'm like, oh, well, they're already burning.
And now I can't get the song Hunka Hunka Burning Love out of my head.
I've got
the whole time you were talking. Oh, God. But yes, that was a very good point you made too.
Well, you were smiling. I was like, okay, so I'm stupid apparently because laughing. I was like,
hunka hunka burning love. Oh. Anyways.
Tristan does the magic thing, saves the town, big beam of light comes out of him. Yay.
Yeah, and the mob is like, what did we do?
Idiots. Sorry, not their fault, but also I just felt very impassioned. Yeah.
And then the tears start coming because Nick is desperately trying to get back. Like, he wants to save everything that he can. He wants to go back inside to try and, like, get books or supernatural items. Like, anything he can do to preserve it.
And Bess, who's cared so much about the Historical Society the whole time, stops him and says it's not worth it because she cares more about him than she does books.
And then the whole Drew crew has to tackle him.
And I'm crying right now as we're recording this podcast.
And Bess tells him, you don't owe this town anymore. And he's saying, I let us all down. And I love George saying, no, what you did mattered. And he says, what we did mattered. And then the building burns.
And I just wrote little hearts on my paper. It was really powerful. And obviously we're watching with the lens of like having done this podcast together, and we're watching with the lens of just like what the show means to us. And I really like to put, not like to, it's tragic, but I like to put myself in the mindset of like the actors and creators and everyone that worked on a show that gets canceled. And just like that moment for them was probably pretty powerful, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
'Cause they say what we did mattered.
Yeah.
It's like the show.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take a break to go blow my nose and clean up my face. We will see you all in just a sec. We won't see you. Please leave all that.
We'll be right back.
We are back and I am literally eating ice cream and my feelings. All right, bring it in, Sarah. I'm just going to eat that.
All right, so we go to the graveyard. Nick is reading from the newspaper that the town is blaming toxic mold from the water supply as a reason for all the town craziness. These people will believe anything.
And at this point, it's charming. Yeah, it's the Drew crew plus significant others. Well,
that's...
Jade and Eddie.
And Tristan. Oh, I forgot that you were including Tristan in there. But also minus Ace. So the people there are Jade, Nick, George, Bess, Nancy, Addie, and Tristan.
Yeah, because I guess Cameron isn't there either.
Right.
So it's a big group of people. And they are mourning the 8 bodies. We bring it all back to the 8 bodies. Mm-hmm. And here I'm a little sad that there's only 7 of them.
Right.
Bringing Cameron in here would have been insanely awkward, and Ace obviously needed to not be there, but I really wish there had been 8 so they each could have put their flowers down on a different grave. But
right.
Just.
Someone had to have had another.
Yeah, they all got one.
Maybe, yeah.
What I'm not familiar with the cultural significance of what Addie did. She put like a little red bag on top of Nashua's tombstone.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that has something to do with her culture.
I am not sure either. I thought that was a nice moment. And then Addie also shared that Chief Lovett is sending everything that survived the fire in the Historical Society to the Underground Historical Society.
Yeah. So Bess really got through to Lovett in that last episode.
Yeah.
And while Farquhar is terrible, I almost said irredeemable. I'm like, no. Nick taught me that everyone can be redeemable, I guess, but she was not redeemed in this show.
No.
And I'm not wasting fanfic on her.
Nope, not at all. Bess talks to Nancy and tells her that the damage to her soul means that this is her last life, that it won't be able to reincarnate. And so Nancy says that she's planning on living this life like it's her last and trying to make things right.
Which is beautiful. But also, she didn't know she had reincarnated souls until like 20 hours ago. But it's still a nice gesture. And Bess points out that she let Ace know the same thing happened to his. Mm-hmm. And he also went away, we find out here.
So I wonder if that means, I mean, I don't know. There's so many different stories and lore and myth and culture, religion, everything regarding reincarnation. Like, does that mean that your soul moves on?
I'm not sure in the context of this world.
Yeah.
Like this universe we're dealing in.
Yeah.
And Nancy places down flowers for Nashua Kip. I just thought it was a really pretty scene.
Mm-hmm. And she tells him that she will never stop telling the truth that you were forced to consume. It's a promise to all of them and to Tristan.
Who is officially now the last sin eater ever of Horseshoe Bay. And the others are like, oh, well, time to leave so they can talk. So they scutter off.
Tristan tells Nancy that he knows that she is not August, that she's Nancy. And that Nashua knew that too, which is why he met her as a friend and not an enemy.
Another toast to Tristan being adorable.
Mm-hmm. And she says that she needs to take accountability of her soul to make things right. Which I do like that. I like the sentiment behind that and everything. Because, yes, that wasn't her. But, I mean, it's the same kind of story of, you know, what my ancestors did, I didn't do. But I need to do my part to make it right.
Yeah, we're not just going to ignore it. Which I give Nancy a lot of trouble throughout this whole series of blaming herself for stuff. But I like the tone here of being more accountable than just blaming. And Tristan says that he was happy thinking they were soulmates. And what do you think of Nancy's reply to that? You and I still could have loved each other?
I feel like that was a pretty final nail in the coffin for their relationship. Like,
yep.
Yeah.
But also, is it her just being like this was just too much? Or like, you killed me in a past life, I can't be with you? Like, it just seemed strange how into him she was. Was she, like, forcing herself to be into him in the previous episodes?
Well, no, because also her and Ace had that whole blow up where she's like, your girlfriend's a ghost. And he's like, well, yours is some kind of monster.
And a crab walking albino demon.
And she says that she never said that she was over Ace. So it's like finally facing those feelings and knowing it and seeing how she hurt the person that she loves so much, I would think she's not eager to jump into another relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Tristan also tells her that she gave him more than love. She gave him his freedom and that there's someone that she loves more.
Which we all are very aware of that.
Who?
Her dad's.
Owen?
Shut up. It's not Owen. And then he says he's going to leave, and he can leave now, really proving that she did, in fact, give him freedom. And he can take the Jolene and go explore the coast, and she hugs him. And I feel a genuine, like, appreciation and friendship. And she's like, yeah, I don't love you. Maybe I could have, buddy. But I do feel this, like, genuine, nice moment between them here.
Yes, I agree.
So he sails away on his boat. I will say that while we do find out what happens with Addie and Jade, this was their last scene too. So Tristan got a little bit more of a ceremonious goodbye than they did, which I thought was kind of interesting because Addie was a really big part in the previous season.
Yeah, he was this season.
Oh, I don't think it's not fair.
Oh, okay.
I just, Addie was pretty absent this season. So I just thought it was kind of interesting, but they still got a thing. I'm glad they were there. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that they were both in this episode because this was Addie's only moment this episode.
Yeah.
So I'm glad she at least got a moment along with Jade.
Back at the Drew house, Ryan is saying goodbye to Red. He's telling her that he doesn't take it personally, that she wants to live a life of adventure. And Red saying that she doesn't take it personally, that you want to stay, have a place to call home. And I feel like that was a really healthy way for them to say goodbye.
But then immediately followed up by a game of cat and mouse chasing each other.
Yeah. She stole his wallet, but then gave him his car back or a new car. I wasn't sure about that.
But does she have the driver's license? Because he can't drive safely without it. Things I shouldn't have been thinking about at this point in the episode.
I assumed she was just waiting for him in the car.
Oh, yeah, they're just being cute.
That's what I... Well, no. But
no. I took it very literally that he's going to have to go chase her.
I mean, that could be too.
Yeah, they're into some kinky stuff. But Nancy gives her approval, basically, and we get a goodbye with dad number two, with dad number one in the background at the kitchen counter. It was very sweet. And here we are, beginning the scenes that I'd been wanting the entire episode to be.
I love that Carson and Ryan's goodbye was, like, as he's leaving, Carson's like, if you ever need a lawyer.
Yeah, it was kind of cute that they didn't, like, get over sentimental with those two.
Yeah.
Because they are more like buddy-buddy. And we've had a lot of really cute moments with them throughout. I didn't need it beat down here.
Yeah. I feel like their moment was really last episode with all the you raise the best person I've ever met.
Yeah. When you're wrapping up a series, I think it's totally legit to get those cute character moments leading up. Mm-hmm. You can't do them all in the finale unless you literally give it the whole 42 minutes, which...
Unless you're Stargirl, which was
perfect. but while I joked about it, I wouldn't have actually wanted that here.
Right, yeah.
So... I do like, too, that both of both Nancy and Ryan tell each other to be good. I thought it was really cute.
Yeah.
Just because of his arc.
Yeah.
And him being a dad. And then Carson gives her a bagel for the road.
And she tells him that she finished clearing out her room so he can use it, like, for a nursery or whatever. And she has only that one tiny bag from clearing out her room.
Maybe she didn't actually clear it out. Maybe it was just like, haha, I don't know. Yeah, that was weird.
Well, I'm sure she moves a lot of her... Maybe she had already moved, like, her furniture and stuff when she moved to Icarus Hall.
Yeah, that could have just been, like, the last few sentimental things she wanted.
And we know that after she got into that dream weave thing or whatever, the dream web, she vacuumed up all those spider eggs and stuff. So maybe she did more cleaning at that point, too.
Fair.
But he tells her that she didn't need to do that. And she says, I know I wanted to. And that she always secretly wanted to be a big sister.
And gives him the cutest little black beanie for a little baby.
Yeah. And so I lost it. And I was like, when did she have time to get this? Like, did she order it somewhere? Did she learn to knit or crochet and made a tiny little beanie?
I'm trying to think if we know any characters that... knit or crochet that she could have just had do that for her. Someone owed her a favor, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure.
She solved the case of the missing yarn. I don't know.
Yeah, you yarn. Just burned down the historical society. Make me a hat.
Could you imagine that Delina, like, and Nick's there, like, sobbing, and she just walks over to one of the mob people and like, can you make, like, a baby hat for me?
Carson gets emotional and says he'll try not to mess things up the second time around. And she says, you won't, and you didn't.
His love has been the one consistent thing in her life. They made the right decision focusing on these two having the emotional goodbye.
Yeah.
Obviously, her and Ryan have had beautiful things. Ryan and Carson have had beautiful things. This was the right choice of those three to really focus it on.
Yes, I agree.
But then her friends show up. Or we should name them because this group is getting wild. George, Nick, and Bess show up with food. And Carson's like, all right, bye, kids. And they, like, go in the other room and they eat their Chinese food.
We find out George got into college. George passed the interview and she got into that university. And then one of the most exciting parts of the episode. Nick,
and tragic. Yeah. And this is where the fan fiction comes in.
Nick accepted an engineering position at Tom Swift's Atlanta location.
Where he's going to get to make his own inventions.
Yeah.
Which is cute because that's something that he was, like, doing already. So it made sense. And then Jade also was hired by Tom's friend Zenzi.
Yeah.
Which this is the first reference we've had of Zenzi on this show. And I would just like to say thank you to everyone that made that reference happen, because I know it was for me. And my love for Zenzi. I loved it so much.
Oh, yeah.
And I really need some comic book or one episode spinoff, something that's the four of them hanging out in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
So we can work on that.
Yeah.
Ugh, the fashion.
Oh my God. What would Nick be wearing? Bess would be so excited to visit.
She can visit in that episode of whatever we make. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely. So yeah, so that was great. I really loved, so there were three Tom Swift references this season, and I loved that show. Go watch it if you haven't seen it. It was cut way too short. At least Nancy got what it got with four seasons. Tom Swift was not given that. Please go watch that show. But I really want to know, because Tom Swift was created in the second, not created, Tom Swift appeared in the second season of Nancy, and then no references through the whole third season, which is like when his show popped up, which makes sense because his show took time, like place at a different time or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then the references in this season of Nancy, the Tom Swift series had already been canceled. And so they could make all these references to him.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder if there was any plan or any talks or any attempts to get him to make an appearance. Because that's what I was really hoping for this whole season.
I'm sure they talked about it. Yeah. But I think it would have been too distracting. It definitely couldn't have happened in the finale.
No. Unless it was like a FaceTime. It couldn't have happened in the finale. I wanted it to.
I think it would have been too distracting.
I know. But it's okay. We got references, which is nice. Okay. All right. And then we go to Bess is on a global mission to restore the Historical Society's resources and all the knowledge. So she's going to try to get all the books back and just build it up to be this amazing thing again.
And while she's doing that, Addie is going to be staying here, running for town council and running the youth center. So I'm glad that we got the reference back to the youth center. And they're talking about how much progress Bess has made with her abandonment issues and all that. And she's like, well, I can just cast a ritual to bring us all back together.
And points out that she'd been crying a lot before. I'm like, yeah, I could just see her like bawling like in the car with the Chinese food before they sit down and talk about it.
Yeah. And I think a great fan fiction will be for her to just write or to decide, oh, I need everyone here. I'm going to have a party.
And yeah. Then,
ritual, get everyone there.
And when she does that, she can also bring Tom Swift in.
Yes. Yes.
All right. So Nancy is taking on a very important case. She's going to stop all the Sin Eaters around. Is it around the country or around the world?
I think she said across the world.
Wow. Awesome. There are mysteries everywhere.
But she's sure that one of them will lead her back to Horseshoe Bay.
And that is what I thought was going to be the end of the Drew crew members. But nope, the show just keeps on pulling at my heart. We go over to Nancy Drew Investigations, where she's packing up shop. We see this beautiful little flashlight scene, which is, of course, reminiscent of the cover of the very first Nancy Drew book.
And she hears a knock. Ace learned to knock after the last time he just came in.
Wait, the knock wasn't Chunky the Ferret?
No, that is the one thing we didn't get.
Poor Chunky. I'm going to finish my ice cream while you talk about this scene.
All right. So Ace comes in and says he was at Alice's memorial down in North Carolina. And he was able to talk with her parents. And he is trying to forgive himself. It's his last life as well. And so he's trying to live without regrets. And that's why he's going to med school so he can become a medical examiner.
Yeah, so we definitely get like a line for each of them. Like, this is what my future is probably going to be, which is nice.
Yeah.
I think we deserve that as fans.
Nancy is mad that he burned his soul up. And he says, well, you know, love compromises judgment. And then he tells her that he spent the last week doing research based on Bess's information. And he thinks that the damage was enough to destroy the curse.
And she's like, why are you telling me now?
She's like, how sure are you? And he's like, 50-50.
Which was a nice and needed moment of brevity.
Yeah. And she's scared. He hurt her before. She's leaving. Like, what? Why put myself through this? I'm sure is what she's thinking. And he takes her hand and asks if she will solve this part of the mystery with him. And she says, yes, always, forever.
Sorry, one detail of that thing that I thought was just beautiful for the whole show was the mystery of who you are will never end.
Oh, I do like that. Yeah.
What a nice, like, it worked because Nancy Drew has been around forever, like mm-hmm. in all different types of pop culture and all these different books. But it's also just like a beautiful little thing of, you know, you're never going to stop getting to know someone and you're never going to stop growing as a person. I just thought it was a beautiful line.
Yeah. And it is very fitting for the show. And then they kiss.
And he doesn't die.
No, he takes a pull back. He's like, I think I'm good. And then they keep kissing. And
what would you have done if he died here with literally 4 minutes left of the show?
I didn't even consider that as an option. Like, I knew that wouldn't happen. But now that I'm thinking about it, that would have been tragic and hilarious.
I would have laughed so hard, but I don't think I would have been able to record this episode.
Oh, man.
Barely holding on as it is. That would have been ridiculous. But yes, he lives, and they kiss, 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 and it's cute, cute, cute.
May pan to the flashlight and the glass does not break.
Oh, good catch. I didn't even think about that moment. I thought it was just the sexy lighting. Oh, God. And then we go then we go to the claw where Ace is carving something underneath a counter. And we see in bold, bright-ass colors, the three girls are wearing their apron colors as mm-hmm. cute outfits, and Ace and Nick are there, and it's just the five of them, and they're putting together this, like, they're putting together this, like, memento box in the counter.
Yeah. George puts in her grandma's clam chowder recipe. And they have pictures that they're putting in. There's a memento from the Seder. The forks for when Jesse and Birdie have to do the fork thing. Ace puts the whistle, Nanette, that he used to anchor to Nancy. And then Nancy puts her name tag in there.
We need to talk about the things that they don't put in there. The things that are already in there.
Okay, what's already in there?
Sorry, did you have an and?
No, I didn't even pay attention to what's already in there.
So there's a picture of Nancy as a sea queen. There's a little matchbook that says call again or something. Thank you, call again. There's a little glass horse. I'm like, for a horseshoe, babe, maybe. It's something else. There's a little frog thing. There's a boomerang, like origami dollar. I'm like, maybe the boomerang is like how it always comes back. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that is. Then there's two dice. One is on a 6 and one is on a 1. So the die add up to 7 and they're green. I have no idea what any of this is.
Okay.
apparently this is the only time I paused the screen and analyzed.
I didn't even think to do that.
There's shells, there's rocks, there's one like really bright orange rock, which I take as Nick because he had a lot of orange in the show. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. There was just a lot of cool things in there that they have to mean something to someone because
I hope that some of it is not that it's from the cast and the crew.
Yes.
Like that means something to them.
Like the dice and the horse. I could see all of that.
Yeah.
Or like inside jokes between the people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or so. Maybe we're completely missing. Like, not. There was so much that maybe we're missing. Like, oh, that's a reference to blah, blah, blah.
Oh, it could totally be references to the show. And those are the kinds of things that if you and I ever do a rewatch and maybe reexamine on this podcast that is never going away. We'll see about that. That is not going away anytime soon. I will be looking for things from the box. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to write them down and say them out loud here and to you so we can keep an eye out for those things.
All right. All right. Sounds good. We get a voiceover from Nancy. It's the way the show started.
And when it starts, we see the Drew crew all hugging at the claw, having just put it in. And the way they're lined up is so beautifully done. It's Bess next to Ace, because they're the little platankers, next to Nancy, next to George, next to Nick. So they all have their little buddy, mm-hmm. and they're all very cute and beautifully blocked. Mm-hmm. And I would love to know if they were in that order per the script, per the director, or if the actors were like, we're doing it like this. I have no idea, but I thought it was beautiful.
Yeah. I feel like it was in the script.
Probably. Script or director, I'm sure. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Talk us through this voiceover.
So Nancy is saying that her dad said that you could live without a soulmate and still have a good life. And he's half right. And she says that we choose soulmates ourselves. And he also told me that maybe you get more than one in your life. And she says, I know I have. I have four. And I lost it.
I'm losing it right now as you said it. Because then we see all of them start to walk out of the claw, right? And during the voiceover, you see George packing up the office and Bess is carrying out a tray or something. Just like different cute moments of all of them. Ace is in the kitchen, which we haven't seen him much lately.
You're that food free Grant.
Oh. And they get to, they're going to turn out the lights.
I love that Nancy tells George, it's just the two of them, and she tells George, I've got it, and sent her out so George doesn't have to do it.
And then we get the final shot of the series. Can I say it? Can I say it?
You can say it.
That says A-H underneath that counter.
Yeah. Ace freaking Hardy.
We called it!
Called it.
Episode 2.
Super early on.
One.
From the beginning of time, we knew.
What an amazing last 15 minutes of a series.
Yeah.
I thought the episode was good. I liked the episode. I think it's just incredible that the cast, crew, everyone was able to put the end of this season together so nicely for the limited amount of time that we've been reading mm-hmm. about that they actually had from the network.
Yep.
Going into this season, I thought that they were going to have the whole season to plan and prepare. And it turns out they only had 4 episodes. So good job. But I think the final 15 minutes were beautiful.
Yes. Agreed.
And thank you to everyone for validating our craziness with AH.
Yeah.
I will say that while we were sitting there crying on the couch, I did point out to you that it said that.
Yeah. And I'm glad you did. I completely missed it.
You would have got a Twitter be like, oh my God.
Oh, I've had to stay off of Twitter. It's too emotional.
Fair. Yeah. Fair. Oh, and did you listen to the lyrics of the song at the end when we see it's all of their initials, not just AH, but that's obviously the thing worth referencing. One of the lines of the song is, I don't want to change. It was just cute.
Aww.
Like when it's panned out all of their names. Yeah. All right. MVPs?
I think I might have to go Nancy.
Interesting. I was going to say, you're the super sleuth, Sarah. Just kidding.
Oh, shit.
I'm kidding. I don't think Nancy was the most helpful this episode.
Well, I mean, it was her soul that had to burn up.
I'm burning up, burn up.
No, actually, the most helpful I think I would give to Nick, but I've given it to him like every episode.
I think it was Bess.
Yeah, I thought you weren't giving it the best anymore.
It's the last episode. I do what I want.
All right, that's fair.
Yes.
I don't know. It's hard to pick any of them.
It is hard to pick any of them.
They all, except George, were very helpful.
Yep. Yeah. I give it to Bess because she held, like, she did the thing that allowed them to go into the weave thing. I should use words that aren't thing. But she, like, no, it was Bess.
yeah,
to me. And okay. then Nancy, I think, was the most entertaining. She had these cute little looks and she had all the like emotion, not all, but she had a lot of the emotional weight of the episode. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm going to say for the final episode. But tune in a couple weeks from now. Sarah and I are going to look back at this season, maybe look back at the whole series with a fun little episode where I really want to talk about favorite characters. I think we should also challenge ourselves. Well, no, it'll be really easy to do Super Sleuth and entertaining for the whole series. But we will rank the characters and we will talk about things we've loved. And we also are going to do a small little movie review.
Yeah. We cannot wait to get back into your ears.
But we won't see you. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time, whenever that may be, keep on sleuthing.
Bye.